Okay. Again, if there's any specific topic that guys would want to let me know. And meanwhile, we're going to talk about just the potpourri of ideas, and that is, I once spoke about in different contexts, top halachic misconceptions. And that talk about any different topics that come up, things that people think, but maybe we don't think, but maybe just to go through a couple of the sources that could help us out. Number one, sometimes I've heard, oh, now I'm milchik, meaning I'm waiting between fleishiks and milchiks, and then by mistake I had something milchik, I had something chalavi, and by mistake I eat. So, now the time finishes. The time is done. I'm milchik now. No, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. If somebody is fleishik and they by mistake ate something, they're still fleishik. It doesn't change just the fact that somebody didn't wait. Shulchan Aruch says it's Nyaradei and Simin Peites in source number one. Oh, Chabasar, this is the Simin in Shulchan Aruch about the waiting between fleishes and milchiks, which we spoke about earlier in the year. Oh, Chabasar, Afilu Shulchai Ba'uf. Oh, Yochal Kvin Achrav, Shiesha Sheishos. You have to wait 6 hours. That is the minhag of most Rishonim. Afilu Mshah Kashir, and even if one waited them at the 6 hours, Rishbasa Meneshidayim, Tzarech Lasiro. The different details that we're not going to get into now, different deos, how much you have to wait, maybe only 1 hour. This is the halacha, and it does not say anything about, oh, if I messed up, then the counting stops. There's no such thing. The only thing we have related to this is what is a fascinating question in Lumdus. What happens if I am pleishik and I have an ice cream cone and I say, Baruch Hashem, Alkem, Achlam, Shekoli, Barau, and I'm about to bite into it, and then I remember I'm pleishik. So now what do I do? That's a fascinating shiloh, because you might say, what do you mean? Say Baruch Shem. Baruch Shem, it helps, but if you don't have to use Baruch Shem, it's better not to. So here, I said a bracha, Baruch Hashem and Tzricha, Machlokas Rishonim, whether that's an Itzad Arayis and Itzad Rabbanan, right? It's a beautiful sentence. Baruch Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Shahakol Nieb Garoh. It just wasn't needed now. Chazal didn't institute it, saying it for nothing. So what do you do? So many Rav Avadya Yosef in source number two says, you know what you do? As long as it's an hour after the time that you ate, so then you know what? Take a little nibble, take a little bit of the ice cream, and if you do that, so then one would be able to have a little bit and still fleishik. But it doesn't mean that the time doesn't change. It's just that you're able to do that to save your bracha levatala. But it is not. Doesn't change anything more than that. The Lefisa, that's what Rav Avadya says in source number two, where it's underlined. Lefisa, Nira, Shemeach, 40 minutes. Shemeachar Shadas HaRambam Mishuvah. Sheisr Bracha Levatala Hu Min HaTorah. Moshen Amar Lo Tisa Shem Lo Kecha Lashav. Since the Isr of saying a Bracha Levatala could be Daraisa, according to some Rishonim, the Rambam. And waiting now is a minog if it's after an hour of waiting to be placed at the Nochics. You know what? Better to take a little bite. Better to take a little bite, and in that way, one would be able to save the bracha levatala, but still eat a little bit of the ice cream. But either way, that is number one idea that one should not think that just because you know one didn't keep the halacha, no, it doesn't. Where did it come from? Anybody have an idea? Where do you think it might have come from? So maybe it came from Hainis Bechoros, or you know, fasting. You know, once you broke your fast, okay, it's done. It's over. So, you know, that also is not so true. Because if somebody breaks their fast, they're supposed to fast as much as they can. They forgot they had to break their fast. They're supposed to eat as little as possible. Hainis Bechoros on Erev Pesach is a different kind of fast. You know, why is it that you can hear or see him and you broke it, it's done? That's a different kind of fast. But all other fast days, if you're fasting, you fast as little as you have to eat, but you still fast as much as you can. But either way, that's maybe where it came from. Again, we don't have to figure out where it came from. It's not correct. But that is all number one. Number two, second idea. Again, the first number of items are all food issues. Food issues. This is a serious shiloh that has come up over the past couple of weeks. Again, we've had some realities over the past couple of weeks that I've never had in my life. Certain shilohs that have come up that we've never had. Right now, the Kela mikvahs, most of the Kela mikvahs in the world are closed. They've been closed for weeks. So before Pesach, people bought kelim, and you can't tovel them. So what do you do? What do you do? You can't, you know, people, you don't do, people want to use that. A lot of people say don't put Pesach for the first time, you know, in many years, they have new kelim. What do you do? So, okay, you go to the beach. If you can't go to the beach, you know, so many people. So, there are different deos. Be makne. Again, what's the halacha of pilas kelim? If a non-Jew makes a kli, metal or glass kli, and I buy it, or he gives it to me, I have a chiv to be tovel it. I have a chiv to tovel ad kedusha. There's nothing not kosher about the kli. I saw him make it. There's nothing not kosher that's absorbed. But one has to be mosif kedusha, just like a ger. A ger, a goy becomes Jewish, he has to go into the mikvah to be mosif kedusha. So to a kli, we are mosif kedusha on our kelim. It's not like hagala. Hagala is removing something not kosher. So there, you know, that that's you have to, you can do at home, that you put into a pot of boiling water or you use a fire, a kash or something. That's removing a problem. Tevila is a mitzvah. We discussed this, I think, earlier in the year. Tevila's kelim. Fine, that's a mitzvah. Daraisa, Darabanan. But what happens if somebody can't? So it's an isser. You're not supposed to, you're not allowed to use non-hovel kelim. So what do you do if it's impossible? So that's come up. Some say if you knew a goy, you could give it to a goy and then borrow it back. You know, if a goy owns the klis, then there's no chiyuv tefila. A lot of times where we are, there aren't so many goyim walking around. So what many did were they were mafkir the kelim. Even on Zoom, right, this was the psak. Go to three people on Zoom right now, and I could say, this kli right here, I am making ownerless. I am being mafkir. And then I put it outside, 15 minutes, whatever it is, 10 minutes. And it's hefker, and then I could take it back in, and I could use it. And I have in mind that I'm using a hefker kli. I'm not using a my kli. I'm using a hefker kli. Okay, unbelievable shilas that came up over the past couple of weeks. But either way, what's the issue that we're talking about here? So some said, oh, if I use it once, it's okay, right? I could use it once without toveling it. So that is a halachic misconception also. There's no such thing as using it once. You can't use it even once. For one is tovel a kli, right? Not allowed. And simin kuf chaf in yeredeya also in source number three. Also l'shtamish v'l'sarchei suda afilu derech harai. Even just the one time playing below tila, right? You can't. Even the first time, one is not allowed. And even if, let's say, somebody had it for many years, when somebody had the kelim for many years, it doesn't change it, right? If you look in the next source, the chachmas adam. And then the top of the next page says, "Even nishtamish b'kli kodem shetvalo lo nesar hamachal." When we come back, I feel bisho b'kamea pa'amim tzarach lipaloso. And even if I use the kli 100 times, doesn't take away the chiyuv all the way on top of the page. Source number 4 doesn't take away the chiyuv of tefila, and therefore one would have to tovel it even after many years. There is a story I've quoted this before. You might have heard it, but a very inspiring story that I enjoy saying over my first year teaching in close the door, please. My first year teaching in YU, year 2000. To that, we're going to get the source number 5 soon. Year 2000, I was giving a shiur on a Thursday, I remember, and Tulas Kalem came up in the shiur. I didn't really focus on it too much. It came up in the Gemara shiur. Following week, a Talmud comes into the shiur and says, "Rebbe, guess where I was on Friday?" I'm like, "Where were you on Friday?" He says, "This is a regular Modern Orthodox family living in the tri-state area." He says, "I went home and I told my mother about this, about what we learned, about Tilas Kalem." I said, "Really?" She says she had never heard of it before. And she called up her rabbi and asked, "Is this one of the newfangled chumras of these young whippersnapper rabbis that they're bringing home these chumras that Tova, the Kalem?" The rabbi said, "No, it's a halacha, it's not a chumra." So this woman has been married. Obviously, the Talmud was in my shir. He was 18, 19 years old. They took their entire kitchen, all the glasses and all the table and all the silverware, everything they took to the kelim mikvah, like they were an engaged couple. They said they spent like hours there in Tovel, all their kelim. They were using that. So I found it very inspiring. You know, most people would hear a new halacha after 20 years of marriage from fine, it's okay. It's chumrah. My rabbi never, I never heard that from my rabbi. Right, the rabbi never spoke about it, but I was very inspired that she heard something and she said, "Okay, I'm going to do this and I'm going to grow from it and I'm going to change." It was just an amazing. Again, even after it's used 100 times, it doesn't change the fact that there is a chiyuv of tefila. Food, this is an important halacha, food does not become ne'asar if it was cooked or prepared in a non-tovel kli. We don't pass in that far. But, you know, you're not supposed to lachanchila use a kli unless it is tovel. So where did this misconception come? Not every misconception has a where to come from, but where did this misconception come from? It probably came from the idea of if you have a disposable kli that can only be used one time or two times, according to many poskim, that does not require tevilah. That does not require tevilah. So according to most poskim, tinfoil pans do not require tefillah. There are those that would be tovel them without a bracha, but Nekar did most. I remember when we were learning this in YU with Rabbi Tendler. He was teaching tefillahs kalim. So somebody raised, but what if I use the kli 10 times? He said, just because somebody's so cheap that they use the kli 10 times doesn't give it a shame kli, right? It's meant to be disposable, and therefore there is no chiyuv of tefillah. Again, that's something that's meant to be disposable. If you have a real kli that you're only planning to use once, that's still a kli. I don't know. Let's say somebody's a multi-trillionaire and they use things once. They don't like to wash dishes. So they use glasses and they throw out their glasses after dinner every night. No, still, that will require tefillah because inherently that is not a disposable kli. And therefore one would have to tovel that. But again, that's probably where it came from. But if you have a real kli that you are going to use more than once, even the first time, would require tevilah before you use it. But number three, third point, this one you might have heard also. Oh, I learn instead of shalosh shuddos. Ever heard that one? Maybe just people do it because they think that it's okay to learn because I'm oseg b'mitzvah. You know, I don't know where else we ever use that principle. Does that have any basis? Where does that come from? There are many shuls out there in the world. Bez Hashem, Mehera Yipatach, Ate Knesios Ba'olam, and, you know, we'll have Shiurim again in shuls. So many shuls have Shiurim between Mincha and Maariv. So is that because learning takes the place of Shalosh Shuddos? Or, as we'll see, rabbis feel that this is the best time and maybe the only time some people are going to learn the whole week. Let me get them into a shiur, and whoever wants to eat shalosh shuddos should eat beforehand. But where does this come from? So if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos shalosh shuddos, Seudah Shlishit, source number 6, the Shulchan Aruch quotes 4 opinions. How often does the Shulchan Aruch do that? 4 opinions, what one could be yotzei shalosh shuddos with. Number 6, Sarech lasosa v'panas, you have to use bread. First opinion, V'yei shomrim shiyoch lasosa b'chol machal asui me'echon yechamishas mine dagon. Second opinion, grain, one of the 5 grains, any mizonos. Number 2, the yeshomim shiochal asosim bitvarim shemalaftim emapas, kibasa vidagim, meat and fish, something that you eat with bread. Avaloba peros, but not fruit. Yeshom afila peros, and something even fruit. Bread, mizonos, meat and fish and fruit. Shulchan Aruch says, visvara rishona ikar. But let me be clear. The first opinion is the main opinion. So we're not going to get to the lachadchilaness of this right now. Shalosh shuddos, bread, and obviously one has to make sure of that one eats bread for shalosh shuddos. Again, is it the same level as the first 2 meals? No. But is it for sure one has to do this? Yerach HaShulchan writes, also litin es adin, those who don't eat shalosh shuddos. Again, especially those who have somewhat contradictory behaviors, because often shalosh shuddos, I have no ruah, and like right after Avdullah, all of a sudden our stomach opens up and we're able to have 3 slices of pizza and a fries. You know, it's like right after, just a little bit ago, I couldn't like fit 1/2 a piece of challah, and now it's like, you know, I'm starving. So again, that's shalosh shuddos de lachadchila. But there are 4 opinions here. Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote a 5th opinion. Going anything about learning. So where does learning come in? Is there a basis for that? So the Magen Avraham, even the Magen Avraham in Hilchos Shabbos, says no. But it comes up in a different area. It's not quoted on the page of the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Shabbos. It's quoted next year. Next year this is going to come up. Erev Pesach Shechalias B'Shabbos. When Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, that's that most difficult day. You have to finish Shalosh Shuddos by 9 o'clock in the morning. And it's the day that you can have challah and you can have matzah. So what do you do when Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos? So in that context, in Siman Taf Mem Daled and Hilchos Pesach, that's where the Magen Avraham quotes from the Zohar, Erev Shimon Bar Yochai, to learn Torah in place of Shalosh Shabbos. So Afke, in that context, that's where source number 8, Ubishloach Kasa B'Shem HaZohar, Sher Shimon Yochai Ha'osek B'Torah, B'Makom Su D'Shlishis. Sher Shimon Yochai used to learn Torah in place of Shalosh Shabbos. Oh, there it is. So note, the Magen Avraham did not quote this in Hilchos Shabbos. And let's remember two things. Number one, it's only quoted in that impossible situation. You have to have finished Shalosh Shudas by 9 o'clock in the morning. So in that situation where it's impossible, okay, so if you can't do that, so you can learn instead in the afternoon. And number two, let's remember that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai didn't do half the mitzvos. Torasa umnaso, Gemara says, in Shabbos. So he didn't do a lot of the mitzvahs. He was busy learning every second of the day. We don't have that anymore. Even the days of the Amoron, they didn't have that. It was very difficult to rely on this. To say learning is instead of Shalosh Shudas. You know, bread obviously is the lechachila. If one has to eat something else, that's definitely better than learning and worth something different than learning. But again, that's where it comes from. But it is not something that should be relied upon.
Erev Pesach, for the Erev Pesach Shabbos question, would it be better to follow the learning Torah day or to eat like meat and fish just later on?
That's a good question. I think many poskim say what we do, the minhag of most is to split up the morning meal. Meaning you have everybody, that's the only Shabbos of the year that everybody daven dashkama. So, I mean, you have people going to daven like at 7, they're going to come home at like 9 and then wash and have a piece of fish or something and bench, take a walk around the house. And then come back and wash again and, you know, just have the washing before the Sotzman Achila. It'll be about 10. But yeah, you can learn also in the afternoon. There's some that say, it's a fascinating, again, it's not our topic now, there's an Aruch HaShulchan. Aruch HaShulchan, you remember, was very harif about having bread every week for Shalosh Shudas. He's harif, but you can't have bread in the afternoon here. So he says, you know what, on Erev Pesach Shacholis B'Shabbos, there's no Chiv of Shalosh Shudas. Why? It's like Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, there's no chiv of Shalosh Shudas. So too here, there's no chiv of Shalosh Shudas because you have to eat it in the afternoon, you have to have bread. You can't have bread in the afternoon today. So it must be there's no chiv of Shalosh Shudas. Same Hashem who commanded Shalosh Shudas, commanded our Pesach Shechol Yisba Shabbos. Again, we generally, that's a huge chiddush gadol, but that's the Aruch HaShulchan. But we try to do both. You know, have it in the morning and then you can learn in the afternoon. Yair.
But usually by Shalosh Shudas, it has to be after Chatzos or can be before Chatzos on a Stam Shabbos?
Normally it's after, we assume. We assume that generally it's later in the day. Later in the day.
Rabbi? Isn't it a minhag not to have matzah on the day Erev Pesach? So why does Shalosh Shudas, which is, I'm assuming more than a minhag, why is that not supersede?
There's a minhag of not to have matzah the month before or 2 weeks before. Erev Pesach is a halacha. You're not allowed to have matzah. That's a din. That's not a minhag. Right? There's a Yerushalmi, I think, that says if somebody eats matzah on Erev Pesach, it's Kabbalah Rasasal Bebeis Chamav. Like you're dumping the gun and living with your fiance before you get married. But that's bad. Okay. Next. Giraffe is kosher, but we just don't know where to shecht it. Have you heard that one? Giraffe is kosher, but we just don't know where to shecht it. That is not true. Giraffe is kosher, and we know exactly where to shecht it. Giraffe is the easiest animal to shecht. You got the whole neck. Anywhere on the neck is a good shechita for giraffe. Right, and that is the halacha. Anywhere. The Gemara says in Chulin, there's a Mesora. Shechita menatzavar nami Gemara. Why don't we eat giraffe? Ever try to hold a giraffe down? You ever try to shecht the giraffe? Probably not so simple. And Bayim don't eat giraffe meat. So it probably doesn't taste so good. So giraffe is kosher. And we know when to shecht it. But it's just not financially a good decision. Whatever the reasons are, it's probably not so tasty. Hard to hold it down. It's very thick skin. Whatever it is. But that's a short one. Just giraffe is kosher. And theoretically, it can be shechted, right? It has split hooves, chews its cud, it has all of the simanim, but it is not shechted because of practical reasons. Okay, moving right along. There's a lot of food issues in the world of misconceptions. This is something also that I have seen, not only heard. If somebody talks after they wash, oh, I got to wash again. That is not true. All right, I've been at meals where people talk, so they start turning around and going to wash again. One does not have to wash again if one talked after washing before eating bread. Shulchan Aruch even quotes two opinions whether you're allowed to talk after washing. Right, the Gemara says, take up on a tila tsuda. Right after you wash, you're supposed to eat. But Shulchan Aruch says in source number 10, now at the bottom, Yei shomer, im chein sorach li zarmi lahapsik bin a tila motzi. Some say you're allowed to talk. You can't have a hesach hadas from washing your hands. But some say you're allowed to talk. Yei shomer, im chein sorach li zarmi lahapsik bin a tila motzi. The Shulchan Aruch says, better to be zahir. Better to be zahir and not talk in between. You waited a very long time, maybe it can be called a hepsik. The Mishnah Berurah goes into here in source number 11, you know, why it's better not to, so that you don't have a hesach hadas. But again, if you didn't have a hesach hadas, there's no reason to wash again, as long as you know, didn't think about other things or not focus on hands being clean. One would be able to just eat. One would be able to just eat, make hamotzi, and not be involved. Somebody asked me, I didn't get to look it up yet. Like 2 days ago, somebody asked me, they wash for bread, and they're waiting for like their family to come in, and they just weren't thinking, so they just took a drink. They're at the meal, they took a drink. They made a shahako, they took a drink, they're like, oh, I washed already. So is that a hesach hadas? You have to wash again there? So you're not going to wash with a bracha, so the pashas is as long as your hands are still clean, but there you touched something. You touched a kli. I didn't get to look that up yet again. I forgot, but I told them to wash again without a bracha. That can't hurt, right? To wash again without a bracha. There, if by the talking, there's no issue to wash again because you didn't touch anything. You didn't have a hesach hadas from the washing. But here, you touched a kli. You might be tamei. So there I said to wash again, but not with a bracha. But again, generally, we don't have to wash again. That's something that people should... That's what the Mishnah Berurah says in Sifkat and above. Ava b'di'eved. Atilu shoh harbe o hepsik b'intayim ein tzorach lachzor b'litol yadav. Kol shol yitziyach daito b'intayim b'shmiras yadav. As long as you washed your washed hands, it is okay. Okay. Next. Also something that many people think, but it's not exactly correct. How long do you have to bench after you ate? Somebody didn't bench. How long does one have? So what is the minhag olam? What's the answer to that question of the minhag olam? What do people say? Don't feel bad.
72 minutes.
72 minutes. 72 minutes. So that is what people say. That is correct, what people say. But that's not exactly what the halacha is. The halacha really is the Shulchan Aruch says in Source 12. Until digestion takes place. What happened? At 71 minutes, the food's not digested. 73 minutes, it's digested. Shulchan Aruch says, if you're still not hungry, you could bench. If you're still not hungry, you could bench. 72 minutes means, if 72 minutes didn't pass yet, then even if I am hungry, I still have to bench. 72 minutes is a maximum, is a chumrah. Meaning up till 72 minutes, then no matter what, you have to bench. Even if one is hungry again, one is a growing teenage boy, and you know they're hungry again, still, if it's up to 72 minutes, then for sure you have to bench. If it's more than 6 hours, you don't have to bench. In between 72 minutes and 6 hours, that's the gray area, and it depends how you feel. Look at the Biskei Tshuvos. On that halacha in Hilchas Suuda, he quotes in Surah 12, "Arkasu achronim, pasha l'shah ar shir meduyak bazeh." Hard to know exactly the shear, the time of digestion. The ain tivius bnei adam shaveh v'niyazman matay shemaskli esrayv. I have one of my kids that eats dinner, and like 2 hours later, they're starving. right? And they have to eat again, right? You guys can relate, I think, right? Not only because dinners in Eretz Yisrael are somewhat smaller, but even so, you know, at a certain age, you have to eat a couple of dinners. So it's hard to determine what it should go by. Therefore, he says, less than 72 minutes, sure, you have to bench. More than 6 hours, no. Between that, it depends what you feel. If you're generally still satiated and don't feel too hungry, then you still have to bench, even if it's more than 72 minutes later. In batuach shadayim saveya, v'eino margish rabban lechol yivarech. In roiv, and if your vada is starving again, don't make a bracha. In mesupak, and if you're not sure, maybe you could have another little kazayis, something like that. But either way, 72 minutes is not a magic number of, oh, I can't bench anymore. If somebody is still full and not hungry for their next meal, then they have to bench, even if it's after 72 minutes. And by the way, to go back to the place where they ate. That is the lechatchila, the bench where one eats.
A nap in the middle of the meal? Was that count as a...
That's tricky, yeah. You shouldn't go to sleep. Should not go to sleep. If it was just a doze, I would say it's okay. The Shnayis and Tzachim talk about it, like at the Seder. Don't go to the couch. That's dangerous, right? The couch is dangerous on Pesach for sure, but on Shabbos as well. You know, the couch should be off limits to anyone who cares about benching. So, you know, one should be very careful about that. Okay.
Rebbe,
one more
Rebbe.
Point.
When the Mishnah Berurah says, if you're Mesubach, eat a kazayis, that means within 72 minutes till you extend the time. What does that mean?
I think it's after, he's talking in that case, it's the Piskei Shuvot. He says, no, even if it's after 72 minutes. Like Bracha Rishona has a shorter time period. Bracha Achrona is the longer time period. Meaning you'd have to make a new Mizonos or a new Amotzi or something. Like, then you can bench on everything from before. You can bench on everything from before. Last point regarding food, and then we'll get to a couple of other issues, and that is, I mean, this is the minhag. Again, this isn't a violation of something, so it's not, but it's just fun. Interesting. Koshal bracha, who uses a cup of wine for benching? If you look in the Rishonim discuss, there's no difference between Shabbos and Yontif, Me'ikar Adin. Me'ikar Adin, there are different days in the Rishonim. Some say you should use a cup of wine, even when you bench by yourself, yachidus. Some say you don't need a cup except for mizumin. Some say all different days. But for some reason, the minhag olam is only by yisudas mitzvah or on Shabbos. Some people only with 10. Again, it probably developed because of the sparsity and scarcity of wine, and some people don't like drinking wine at the end of their meal. They just are even grape juice. It's just not want to drink that. And for kosher bracha, you have to drink a rover vias. But the Ketubah discusses this isn't a violation. You know, if somebody enjoys wine and somebody has it around in their fridge and you want to use it for a berachas hamazon, it's definitely doing a mitzvah b'chit dura. But again, there's no specific halacha of kosher bracha having to do with Shabbos or with seudas mitzvah. Let's move on to other areas of halacha. Why don't we look at the Kohanim's hands when they do Birchas Kohanim? Oh, Baruch Hashem, we have a Kohen here, and at least one that I see on the screen. But why don't we look at Kohanim's hands? So growing up, you know, we were always told, you don't want to become blind. Rachmanu Litzlan. Look at the Kohen's hands, it's dangerous. Dangerous. Why is it dangerous? I don't know. But that's what was said. But if you look at the Gemara talks about Chagiga Tezayin 16. That's where it comes from. Whoever looks at three things, their eyes become weak. One of them is Kohanim. What does Kohanim there mean? Shem Hashem. When the Kohanim say Shem Hashem and there's the Shechina resting on the Kohanim's hands when they say Shem Hashem, okay, then you shouldn't look at their fingers. But does that apply in Shul? They're not saying Shem Hashem, not in the Beis HaMikdash. The Pashtus is that's not the reason why the minhag of many is not to look at the Kohanim's hands. The sub say the whole thing doesn't apply anymore. Therefore, you can look straight at the Kohanim. First of all, the Kohanim's hands are covered anyway. Bizman Azeh, they cover the hands with a talus. That's the minhag of Kohanim. Covered with a talus. But even if not, Rav Shechter, he looks right at the Kohanim. Right, nothing looking down. Some people are so nervous about this that they don't want to look at the Kohanim's fingers, they turn around. That's against halacha. You have to be panim upon him. You have to be facing the Kohanim when Berachas Kohanim. There are some that say it's a mitzvah for the Yisrael to be blessed. Not just for the Kohen to bless. And the Sefer Haredim, the first Berachah in Hilchos Berachas Kohanim. Verse 19, quote the Sefer Haredim. It's a mitzvah for the Yisraelim to be blessed. You have to be facing them when they give the bracha. So why don't we look, the Rambam says, we don't look at the coin in its hands because we want you to be focused on the bracha, not get distracted. And if you focus too much on the Kohanim, then you're not going to be thinking about the words. So that's what the Rambam says in Hilchos Fila and the Sias Kapayim, Dei shalo yasichu daitam, el akola'a miskavnim l'shmo'a bracha, u'mechavnim p'neim k'neim 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 k'neim. Oh, look. Because we want you to be able to focus and think about the bracha that we are getting. So again, that's the real reason why one shouldn't look at the Kohanim. Just have your eyes closed. So Isser per se, that seems to be only Bizman HaMikdash, but one doesn't look because one doesn't want to be distracted. It's like many parts of davening. You know, we should be focused and not thinking about other things. Okay, I gave you a couple of other makoros relating to Kohanim. But this is not really a halacha, but it is something people say. Rashi's daughters wore tefillin. Have you heard that one? There is no evidence of that. Right? There is no evidence of Rashi's daughters wearing tefillin. Right? We know the Shulchan Aruch tells us that women not only are exempt, but should not wear tefillin. Shulchan Aruch says it in Simin Lamed Ches, source 21. Not only Nashim Avad Purim Tefillin, we don't allow. It's not like a Zman Grama without a downside, like Lulav and Shofar. No downside for women to do the Lulav Shofar Sukkah. But tefillin is a downside. What's the downside? We need gufnaki. We need a clean body, a clean mind. Even men, we used to wear tefillin all day. We limited it to as little as we can, right? Because it's risky. We have to. So we limit it to Zman Tefila. If you don't have to put yourself into the situation, then you don't. And Halacha says one shouldn't. But there is no evidence that Rashi's orders were. The only thing we have, the Gemara in Eirvin tells us that Michal Bas Kushi, Aisa Manachas Tefillin, or Michal Bachachamim, a certain woman. But, you know, the fact that Rashi's daughters wore, Rashi only had daughters, he didn't have sons. But we have no evidence that they wore tefillin, and there's much evidence that women should not wear tefillin, and there's no reason to believe that Rashi's daughters went against all of that evidence. Okay, maybe two more we'll try to squeeze in. By Hagba, you have to stick your pinky at the Torah. Many people have that minug? Again, not a minug quoted. Many people do it. But, you know, it's not quoted in Shulchan Aruch or on the page of the Shulchan Aruch. It says the Shulchan Aruch in Source 24, you're supposed to look at the Torah. To bow a little bit. There is no minhag of the pinky. Biskei Tshuva's quote, it's a much later custom. Again, you have to think about it. Is that why after the pinky? Is that the most chubat? Svardim often point to it with the second finger, or the etzba. But again, there's no specific halacha of the pinky. At least one should bow, though. When you see Zosatara, one should bow. This Keshuva is called Yisro Nogim Latvia Be'esla Vizeres, Ve'ever Sefer Torah, Mukara Kadmon, Me'am Loes, Yidon Lechos, that says it's about Talus, Laharos, Connecticut. Okay, nothing wrong with this, as long as one thinks about what they're doing. But again, that's not an early custom. One thing that is important, that I think what we've spoken about before, is misconception. My arm has to be covered when I say tafnim. That's something that we've heard. We've spoken about this before. My arm has to be covered when I say tafnim. That is not true. Your arm does not have to be, there's no halacha about an arm being covered. Right? The halacha is, we know there's a pasuk at the end of next week's parsha in Bahar, called Evan Maskis. One is not allowed to serve Hashem in certain ways that the idolaters used to serve Hashem. They used to serve Hashem they used to serve their gods by bowing down on floors, on open tiled floors. So if one ever bows down or bends down in serving Hashem, one always has to have a hefsek between their face and the floor. Their face and the floor. On Yom Kippur, when we bow down, we give out paper towels, not just for the knees, not to get dirty, but there has to be a hefsek between the face and the floor. But that's the idea of tachnun. When we go down by Yomer David El Gad, when we go down, there's no halacha about an arm being covered. It's just halacha that there has to be a hefsek between my face and the floor. So if I put my arm in front of my face and there's nothing else there, that's like my face to the floor because my arm is not a separation. My arm is me. It's like you can't use your arm for a kippah. So that is where it must have developed that people want their arm covered so they have a hefsek. But really, it has to do with the face and the floor. And that is why there's another hefsek, somebody says a sitter. You're holding a sitter, then that's fine. There's a sitter between the face and the floor. If there's a shtender, Rav Nevinzal in his Mishnah Berurah says, if there's a shtender, sometimes people are so machped about their arm, they lose the whole tzur of the Tefillas Apayim. Tefillas Apayim has to be faced towards the floor. Of course, some people want to be so machped that they pull their short sleeves up and they stay tachlin like this with their head facing up. That's totally loses the tzura. From the Tefillas Apayim, the face falling, we lower ourselves in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One has to recognize that there's no such halacha. You can use your sleeve, you can use a sitter, you can use the table, but one has to make sure that one does Nefilas Apayim in the proper tzura.
If one's working out and does push-ups, but you're facing the floor, does that mean a problem also?
I think that's okay, because you're not doing that tzura avoda. You're not doing that as avoda. You're doing that as exercise. So I think that's okay.
So on Yom Kippur, are you supposed to use one of those paper towels for your head and not just for your knees?
Correct. Right, there has to be a hefsek between one's face and the floor. And poskim say if you have this is more for chutz la'aretz, if you have a room that with wall-to-wall carpeting, that's ilu, it's an open floor. Mm. Meaning you have to use a covering, but that's bottled to the floor. But again, yeah, there has to be a hefsek. I announce it in my shul every year. The hefsek is between the face and the floor and not just the knees. One final point, and with this, maybe it'll be a bracha that all those who haven't been able to go on dates and to go out and to eat to weddings during this time period. Yes, chus, the badekin. So some think badekin is, make sure it's the right woman. Because after all, you know, Rachel and Leah, they were switched. Lo pulled a fast one. Lovin pulled a fast one. So you have to make sure it's the right girl. Problem with that svar is that what happens about a badekin? Chassan goes and puts the veil on the kala. It was about checking who it is, so then you should pick the veil off the kala, or at least leave it off. The badekin goes back thousands of years. Ready to find a gemara, there are remazim. Goes back many, many thousands of years. So what is the badekin? So seems that the badekin has some other influence, some other remez. Maybe it's an allusion. I give it to you. Maybe it's an allusion to in source 33, right? When Rivka met Yitzchak, she covered her face, a siman of tznius. There's other ideas. Maybe it's a act that symbolizes nisuin. Not for now, but we're not talking about do many different. Acts that symbolize and are merames to the experience of Nisuin. He is covering her. He is taking care of her. There's a lot of other symbolisms that Badekin is, but it's not. Check who it is, because then it wouldn't be going in that direction. It would be going in the other direction. Okay, there are a couple of more, but I guess we'll stop here. And Dada Shem, everybody should always have proper conceptions of halacha. And learn from any misconceptions that might come up.
Thanks, Rabbi. Is there any inyan in looking at the Torah when you say bezos the Torah, or like you have to see the words or anything?
Yeah, there are some Kabbalistic sources that seeing the words of the Torah are very they're good for your eyes. Rav Meir Goldwicht, ever daven with him, he always runs up to make sure that he sees that he could read the letters of the Torah. As Hagbah goes up. So I think it's more in the Kabbalistic sources that there's Ramazim, if you can, to see the actual words.
The Shalosh Shuras, do you need Lechem Mishnah? Do you just need, if you didn't eat bread, then...
Good question. L'charchilo Lechem Mishnah. L'charchilo Lechem Mishnah.
Yeah. Rabbi, with Kohanim, is there an inyan of not looking at them because they might have like a mum, and that's why they also have a talis on them, so that you won't see it?
So in the day, that's the Beis Yosef talks about. That's why they started covering their hands, so that even if they have a little bit, it won't be distracting. That's mitzvah Kohanim, why they do that. Mm. So technically, so nowadays, we could just look at them because we just see a talis anyway.
Right.
But it's probably good just to close our eyes and think about the words.